to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 178. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
Lots happened since last time you were on the podcast, Henry.
Yep.
Mainly Thanksgiving happened. We are definitely much more into the holiday season. As I say often, it's Christmas season anytime it's after Halloween and before New Year's. But now it's like, I think everyone would acknowledge that we are well into the Christmas season because it is December. We've got a Christmas tree up. We've got stockings hanging over the fireplace. How did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I did.
I like Thanksgiving. I think everybody likes Thanksgiving, at least most people. I don't know too many people who are anti-Thanksgiving. This year, I smoked some turkeys. I was only going to smoke one turkey because it was just going to be us and my brother and his wife and his wife's sister and her friend. So there were only going to be, 5 + 4, 9 people. But then at the last minute, we kind of invited another family. So I got a little panicked and I bought another small turkey and smoked two turkeys. And it seemed like a good time.
It was.
Thanksgiving's just fun to sit home, eat some good food. I made some rolls, smoked some turkey, made a lot of pie.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Do you remember how many pies we had?
5?
I want to say 8. 8
wow.
Pies and about 16 people. So just about a pie for every 2 people, which is a pretty good pie to person ratio. I think there were 2, let me see if I can name them all. There were 2 pumpkin. There were 2 apple. I made a pumpkin, I made an apple, and then our guests brought a pumpkin and an apple. So the 2 pumpkin, 2 apple, that's 4. And then there was a pecan. There was a buttermilk chess pie, which is one that our family likes to make.
Mm-hmm.
And is usually really tasty. Our guests brought a banana cream pie. That's 7. I feel like there's 1 more. What am I forgetting?
I know there's 1 more, but I can't remember it.
I think there is 1 more. Apple, pumpkin, pecan, banana cream, buttermilk chess. Maybe that's it. Maybe there were only 7 because we made 4 and our guests brought 3. That's probably right.
Yeah.
But it was plenty of pie. There was plenty enough so that we got to do one of our favorite traditions, which is have pumpkin pie for breakfast the day after Thanksgiving.
That's always nice.
It's great. Pumpkin pie tastes really good after you've eaten a nice Thanksgiving meal, but it tastes just as good for breakfast, if not maybe even a little bit better somehow.
Yeah, we also had a puzzle for our guests and also us for Thanksgiving, and it was really difficult, but it's kind of cool. And I don't mean to flex, but I have put together both the last pieces and the first pieces.
Yeah. So we had a puzzle that had been sitting around for a while that Mom got for her birthday, I want to say 2 years ago. And it had just been sitting like on our bookshelf, unput together in a box. And we decided having people over, a puzzle is always a good time. So we brought it out. I think I asked you to dump it out and turn all the pieces right side up before our guests got there.
It wasn't just me who did that in the end, but...
It was weird, though. Like, it was a pretty hard puzzle, and it was based on an Edward Gorey illustration. So he does these kind of creepy, like, funny illustrations. Like, if you know the show Mystery on PBS, he does, like, the opening credits for that.
Huh.
But it was, like, just this big illustration with lots of people, kind of creepy people and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think what made it hard was because it was an illustration, like a lot of it was just like pencil strokes or pen strokes or whatever it is, or a woodcut. I'm not really sure. But because it's not a photograph, like a lot of it looked the same.
Yeah.
Like just kind of pencil strokes with like a blue or a gray or a black background.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it kind of tough. In fact, I think this is the first time I've ever had a puzzle where we had a hard time finding all of the edge pieces. Like there were like 2 or 3 edge pieces we didn't find until like a lot of the other puzzle was done. And I've never had that happen before.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
I think somehow because it had lots of straight lines in the illustration.
It kind of blended into our coffee table.
Yeah, it made it like the edge pieces were harder to find. And that seems weird. I don't know how that can be.
It's still on our coffee table, just sitting there taunting us, even though it's already done.
But it seems like all of our guests were like, ooh, puzzles. I love puzzles. So yeah. Those are the kind of guests we invited over. So it worked out just perfect. And then you know what I really liked also?
What?
The day after Thanksgiving, I made a bunch of rolls, and I made enough so that we had leftovers, like on purpose. I made a whole bunch of rolls. And the next day, like, we made like the perfect sandwich, which is like you take a roll, you put some turkey, some leftover turkey on it, and some leftover gravy on it. You stick it in the microwave.
And some cranberry sauce.
You stick it in the microwave for about 15 seconds so it gets warm. And then you put cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And we put like a little bit of cheese because we had cheese and crackers and we had the cheese left over, a little cheese on it. And it was so tasty.
It was probably the best sandwich I've ever had.
It was like a bite of Thanksgiving dinner in every bite. It was so delicious.
It was so good.
I would eat that every day if I could. But I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those things that it's just such a luxury to have it the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's one of the best things about having Thanksgiving at your own house is if you have it at someone else's house, you don't necessarily have all the leftovers to do something like that the next day.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I did with leftovers is, and a lot of times I'll do this, like when I cook a chicken or some other kind of poultry, but I took all the scraps from the turkey and made like a turkey broth, like boil it in a big stock pot with some vegetables. And like last night I made turkey ramen out of it.
The night before last night.
I guess it was 2 nights ago. It had this nice thick broth, but then I also like took some of the dark meat and like crisped it up and put it in the, there was a recipe on Serious Eats website that called it turkey python ramen. And so you take like, you cook up the ramen noodles, but then you take the broth and you add like miso to it and you add a bunch of the cooked turkey. And it's like a great way to use up your turkey because it tastes like really good ramen, but it's also using up your leftovers.
It does taste super good.
It was pretty tasty. I think everybody liked it. So that was fun. I had some fresh ramen noodles that I had used from, that I bought at the grocery store, at the Korean grocery store that I go to. What else is going on? You had kind of an interesting night last night, and you're kind of doing the same thing again tonight.
I'm not doing the same thing tonight, which I will explain.
A little bit the same. Not totally the same, just a little bit the same.
Yeah. So basically, last night there was a school play because this year they're doing Frozen. And what I did last night is, so the orchestra was playing before the play, and then during the intermission the band was playing. But since I both play cello and trombone, I had to go to the orchestra thing instead of going to like the practice before the band played. And then I went to the band place, but like the way it was set up, I got to bring my trombone to the orchestra hall. So I just like during, like before the orchestra performance, I sat in the middle to just let the confusion set in.
So we've talked about this before. Are you the only person that's in both band and orchestra?
At my school, yeah.
At your school. So you were out there like in kind of the prelude, I guess, or the before the play started. You guys were playing Christmas songs, including some songs from Frozen for the orchestra. And then in the intermission of the play, the band came out and you played some Christmas songs plus some songs from Frozen.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, you know how to play Let It Go on at least two different instruments now.
I could probably learn on piano too if I like looked at the sheet music.
So you know how to play it on trombone and cello.
And potentially piano.
Potentially you could learn on piano and maybe even kazoo. I'm thinking.
Yeah, and
Let
recorder,
It Go on kazoo
maybe.
Might be terrible,
know.
Though.
That'd be amazing.
An amazing kazoo solo and Let It Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny. I don't know. The stage musical of Frozen is kind of weird because they add a lot of songs to it. It's already a musical, but then they add a bunch of songs to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Frozen 2 yet. Do you want to see Frozen 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth wants to see it. She really liked Frozen. I will see it if people really want to, but it's not like the top priority for me.
Yeah.
We also saw on Thanksgiving, we saw Knives Out, but I told William, who couldn't be on the podcast today, that we would wait until he's on the podcast again to talk about it. So maybe you can guest on his podcast when we talk about Knives Out.
Here's a little preview. It was really good.
Here's a preview. Everybody loved it. It was really interesting. It was a cool, and I won't go into it too much because we'll save the discussion. It's basically a whodunit, but it's very twisty plot, like a really interesting twisty plot.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was a little bit, if you have a younger people in your family, be warned, there is quite a bit of swearing in it for a PG-13 movie, but it was good. I liked it. What else is going on? So Christmas parties, was it last night you had the church Christmas
the night
party?
Before.
The church
Wednesday
youth.
Night. We're recording this on a Friday.
Yeah, that's right. It's Friday. I keep forgetting it's Friday. So
yeah.
Two nights ago, you had... So it must have been 3 nights ago I made the ramen. Not that that's important, but... two nights ago, you had our ward youth Christmas party, our church youth Christmas party, and they did something they do every year, which they had a big white elephant. Was that fun? I wasn't there for it.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And in case you don't know, like, white elephant is where, like, everyone puts a present in and you take turns, like, picking a present and and you unwrap it and someone else can also, like, steal it or get another present. It's really fun.
So I did see, because you guys were in a hurry and you didn't have time to wrap the present. So I wrapped the present and brought it to the church, and everyone was sitting in a big circle. Like, there were chairs in a big circle, and in the middle of the circle, there was a big pile of presents in the gym. And what were the rules this year?
Just the same as usual, like only two steals. By the way,
so you can choose to pick out a present or you can steal someone else's. Is that how it works?
Yeah. And everything can only be stolen twice before you can't steal it anymore. And by the way, and you can't immediately steal anything back, which, by the way, just as a note, they all have to be like under $5 or about $5. So they can range from like a sock to like something really big and cool.
Yeah. And that's part of the fun, is sometimes the gifts are just funny and stupid.
Yeah. Like for my gift, I'm not sure how the heck we had this in the first place, but
I'm thinking maybe like a relative must have given it to us for Christmas or something.
But I brought Madagascar Racing for the Wii.
Yeah. Which, and I don't know. Do you think we ever played that game, like even to try it out?
I don't think so.
It's like a low but or an off-brand version of Mario Kart, except it's with Madagascar characters.
And also, you know how there's like something called the Wii Wheel, where you can put like the Wii remote in like a wheel? They also ripped off of that for some reason.
Yeah. And you know, it seems like always when they have, not always, but I would say like maybe 9 times out of 10, when they come up with a video game that's like supposed to go along with a movie, like Despicable Me or something like that, or some animated movie, it's usually terrible.
Yeah.
Because they usually rush it out. It's usually, they don't put a lot into it. Yeah. Like E.T. is notoriously one of the worst games that was ever made for the NES, I think.
Atari,
yeah. It was an Atari game. Because the whole thing is, well, maybe people who like Madagascar will buy this. We don't have to worry about making the game actually good. And I think that's what probably happened with this game. Although I don't know if any of us ever played it.
I don't think so. And Will brought, what did he bring? Oh, yeah, he brought an assortment of healthy snacks.
Which I thought was funny. It was like raisins and what else?
Nuts.
Nuts and raisins and maybe like an apple or something.
No, it was just nuts and raisins, I think.
Yeah, it's especially funny considering the prize that he ended up with, or the
which was like 2 pounds of candy. It was like a huge bag of leftover Halloween candy. Like,
yeah, someone had like
bag.
A huge bag of Halloween candy that they didn't use on Halloween, I guess. And that was his prize. And the shocking thing is, he actually came home with that.
Yeah, yeah. He stole it from me, and then no one stole it from him.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. And they would have been able to keep it. They would have been able to keep it, is the thing.
Yeah, anyone who stole it from him would have been able to keep it.
I got a Ridley amiibo. If you don't know what amiibos are, it's like, they're like figurines, except you can actually like scan them into games. So it's like figurines, but you can actually use them.
It's like a little like action figure type thing, but then it becomes like a downloaded content on a Wii game, or not a Wii, but a what Switch game, right? Or Wii U. Is it Switch or Wii U?
It's both, and also 3DS.
You can
basically
use it for...
like It's like a statue of a character. Statuette. And if you use it in Smash Bros, then it like gets like a computer that can like learn from fighting other people, and it'll get smarter and smarter until you basically can't beat it.
And this one is like a scary...
It's Ridley from Metroid.
Yeah, a scary alien monster dragon looking thing.
Yeah.
That is like one of the enemies on
Metroid.
Metroid Prime, I think.
No, just the or Metroid just regular series.
Metroid, any of the Metroid games.
Yeah.
And you can use that to like be a Ridley on Smash Brothers and stuff.
No, no, you can already be Ridley. It's just you can get like, you can go up against like a computer that keeps on learning.
Oh, yeah. And then who ended up with the Madagascar game? Did anybody?
It was
I'm guessing no one stole it.
No one stole it, but it was someone who didn't have a Wii, which just made it even better.
Yeah. And then I had my work Christmas party today, which is why I came home a little bit early today. We're recording this in the afternoon, because a lot of times after the work holiday party, everyone gets to leave. But we went to Alamo Draft House, which is like a movie theater. It's kind of one of those movie theaters where they also serve food and they do a lot of like special promotions and stuff. But we went there and they did a special screening of the movie Elf.
Oh.
And they had like all kinds of games. Like they had a little scratch and sniff thing where like different parts of the movie you could scratch something that smelled like maple syrup.
Whoa.
Or like perfume.
Wait, wait. How does that work?
It's just a little card that has scratch and sniff.
Wait, but different parts of the movie? Oh, like
During like the movie, if you want to, you could like smell the smell of what's happening in the movie. And they had like cotton balls and they said, don't eat it. Even though like he eats the cotton balls in the movie. How long has it been since you saw Elf?
I saw it at a Christmas party that was only like, I think, no, it's a pie party in November.
Oh, okay. It's a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, it's better than I remember.
It is a really good movie. And before the movie started, they had a trivia game. And it was like, they showed up on the screen, they showed like, I think it was 14 different holiday trivia questions. And sometimes it was like you watched like a clip from a holiday special and then you had to answer questions about it. And other ones were just like happened if you either know or can guess like trivia from movies, like Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. But I tied with 11 out of 14 with someone else. And then they had like a tiebreaker and I won.
Nice.
So I got 2 free movie tickets out of it to bring home. It's kind of fun to win. I don't know. It just is. Especially trivia.
Yeah, I always like games like that. Like, this isn't quite the same, but, like, in school we do, or I guess we sort of used to do, something called Kahoot, where it's, like, trivia, but it's, like, what you're learning in school.
Yeah, we talked about Kahoot with William, I think, last time he was on.
Yeah, I mean, now we don't do that because something better is invented called GameKit, made by the same people, but it's, like, you have to get the most money. You can buy like upgrades from answering questions correctly. Oh, so yeah. Now everyone just does that instead. So,
But it's fun to do it in a big group and like,
yeah,
because when you win, you feel a little bit of satisfaction. Like, yes, mm-hmm. I don't know.
If you don't actually get anything.
Yeah. What else is going on? Oh, Elizabeth has some big news. I think the last time she was on the podcast, we mentioned that she was studying for her teaching certification exam. And she took it last Saturday. And we have to congratulate her because she passed. Which means that Elizabeth gets to officially be a certified teacher in the state of Texas.
Yay.
And after she graduates from college, which happens this month, she can actually get a job as a teacher.
Wait, so there are 2 tests, but she said that she passed one of them. Did she pass the other one too?
I haven't actually heard, but I know like the one that she passed was the one she was most concerned about. She said was the hardest one. The other one she thought was pretty easy. There was one that was like a PPR. I'm trying to remember what that stands for. It was like professional responsibility and
professional preparation.
Proficiency and professional responsibility. I don't know. Something like that. Mm. I'm probably getting that wrong, but it was like just sort of like the basics of teaching and pedagogy and proficiency. I don't know, something, but basically like things that all teachers should know. And she said that was actually kind of hard. No, or was that the... Yeah, that was the
hard
one. That
was the easy one.
I thought that was the hard one because the other one was... Well, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. So there was that one, and then there was one that was like subject matter expertise, which was like English. And maybe that was the harder one. But that... Whichever one it was like the harder one that she found out she passed. So I'm not too concerned about her passing the other one.
Yep.
But I haven't actually found out. I'm just assuming that she passed both of them. So congratulations, Elizabeth. What else is going on? We heard from Phoebe. Phoebe, as we mentioned a couple on the podcast before, is serving a full-time mission as a missionary in Southern California. She told me that she went to four different Thanksgiving dinners, or she, I think she only ate two Thanksgiving dinners, but then she went over to someone else's house for pie. And then like from another house, they gave her like leftovers. So she had a really busy Thanksgiving. Sounds like she's being mm-hmm. well taken care of, which is good to hear. Anything else going on? We got to get moving on Christmas decorations. I did put up the tree and everyone helped decorate it. We need to put up some lights, do some Christmas decorating around the house. I don't know. It seems like the last few years we haven't gone overboard or really done we've kind of done minimal Christmas decorating. But, oh, we got the advent calendar up. We've got this little advent calendar that has like these little, I don't know, like foam characters. It's like a foam nativity. Not foam, but like cloth.
Tiny like Velcro dolls.
Yeah. Where you take them out of their little pockets and put them up there. And right now it looks like it's got the star, the angels, and Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
In the nativity. So, yeah, I like Christmas. I don't want to be too controversial here, but I'm a big fan of Christmas.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are.
It's a good time. I am going to take a few days off for Christmas. Not a ton of time because we went on lots of vacations this year, which was fun. But have some days to spend at home during the Christmas break. Christmas break for you starts, I think you decided you got 10 more school days.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks of school and then you'll be on Christmas break clear through the new year and I think the first week of the new year.
Yeah, I know because like to get to the bus, like I have to pass the room of my 7th grade English teacher who has like one of those letter boards where she's counting down.
Counting down's good. I remember when I was a kid, we used to make those paper chains. Did you ever do that?
Mm.
So it's like you use construction paper to make the links of the chain.
Oh, yeah.
And do it maybe like red and green or whatever, Christmas colors. Mm. And then what we would do is for each day until Christmas, you'd like break off a piece of the chain. And so the chain gets smaller and smaller. I don't know. Something kids used to do before the internet.
People still do that, but not... I feel like it's just like... There's one in my current English teacher, not my previous English teacher's classroom, but we don't really break it off. The teacher does.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. You'd have to either have the kids take turns or just let the teacher do it.
Yeah.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got a story here that Elizabeth spotted. It kind of reminds me of a Florida story, but instead this is a Denton, Texas man story. It's not Florida man.
Texas man.
This happened in Denton, Texas, which is where Elizabeth went to college, where she's just about to graduate from college. This is from the police blotter in the local newspaper. You know what a police blotter is?
No, I don't.
So, like, sometimes the newspaper will report on police reports that have happened recently, like recent happenings, like arrests or criminal activity, and it's called the police blotter. So the Denton, what is the name of their local newspaper? The Denton Record Chronicle does a police blotter for the city of Denton. One of the entries says, on the 3100 block of Bandera Street, police arrested a man who officers said had a pie in his pants at a Walmart on a Thursday morning following a disturbance call at a nearby Waffle House and a theft call at a nearby Chevron.
Wow.
Yes, there's a lot to unpack there.
I would just like, I think the most shocking thing is that the Waffle House actually reported something.
If like, you are,
it must have been like a pretty bad disturbance if Waffle House is going to report it.
If you are arrested with a pie down your pants in Walmart after already causing a disturbance in Waffle House.
Like, causing a disturbance in Waffle House is hard. Like,
something has gone wrong in your life. You are on the wrong path. You need to do a U-turn and seriously consider.
Just consider your life choices.
The man, how old would you guess this person was who was arrested with a pie down his pants?
20. Denton's like a university, like there's two universities there, so it's...
It is, there are a lot of college students. This was a 23-year-old man.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah, you were close.
So, it's see, I still would
guess
scary,
older.
Though.
I would guess like maybe someone who is a little older and maybe didn't have it all together, but this is a relatively young man. 23-year-old man was arrested and charged with theft under $100. He and one other man were criminally trespassed from Walmart. Do you know what that means?
I think it means like they can't go there anymore.
Yes. If you're criminally trespassed, that means you get like this legal notice that says you're not allowed here anymore. If you come back here, we'll call the police and have you arrested for trespassing.
Thank you, Walmart.
If you've been criminally trespassed from Walmart, that alone, just setting aside the having a pie down your pants, if you've been criminally trespassed from Walmart, that's not a good sign because Walmart's not exactly an exclusive location.
And also, let me just focus on the facts that Waffle House actually reported something.
I also wonder about the logistics of stealing a pie by stuffing it down your pants. One, I want to see those pants. Isn't it obvious that you have a pie down your pants?
Are they like big pants?
They would have to be at least pie size. They would have to be at least enough room for the pie and everything else that's down your pants.
I mean, maybe they would have gotten reported if it was big enough.
And the other thing is, aren't you going to damage that pants? Who wants to eat a pie after it's been down your pants?
I don't know.
Was it a frozen pie? If it's frozen, it seems like it'd be really cold.
Yeah.
If it's not frozen, it seems like it'd get really smushed. It's a problem. I don't think this guy thought it through all that well. I don't know. I don't know the guy. This is all the information I have was an entry on the police blotter. But just reading between the lines, I think there's some issues here.
Yeah.
So, way to go, Denton man.
Congratulations.
You got arrested with a pie down your pants, and now you can never go to Walmart again.
And you caused a disturbance at Waffle House.
Yes. And at a Chevron, apparently.
What's a Chevron?
Chevron's like a gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This guy had a heck of a night. Something hopefully he can overcome. He can turn his life around.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. He's 23. He's still got time. But hopefully his life doesn't go downhill from here.
Wonder how it could.
There's all kinds of ways. But please, Denton man, think about your life a little bit. All right. Do you want to share your story?
Sure. Dictionary.com chooses existential as word of the year.
All right. So the word of 2019 is existential.
Yep.
And why did they choose existential?
The article says climate change, gun violence, and the very nature of democracy, an angsty little movie star called Forky helped propel existential to dictionary.com's word of the year.
Do you remember Forky?
Yeah, from
Tell
Toy Story
Forky
4. He's like the spork who like is like, wait, I'm not supposed to be a toy.
So the in Toy Story 4, it takes place like after Andy's all grown up, who is like the kid in the original Toy Story movie. And then like somehow his toys get given to this little girl. And instead of playing with Woody, she goes to preschool and she creates this fork toy.
It's actually
with
a spork.
Face. It's like a, is it a spork?
It's a spork.
With a face and calls it Forky.
Yeah.
And Forky has some personality issues.
Also, I just like to mention that it's like super dark until it's like, oh yeah, and some fork.
So Forky calls himself trash and keeps trying to throw himself away.
Yeah.
And how does that, what does that have to do with existential?
It says, the word earned top of mind awareness in sustained searches at dictionary.com in the aftermath of wildfires and Hurricane Dorian, and mass shootings in Christchurch, New Zealand, and El Paso, Texas. It also reared itself in the presidential politics and pop culture, including Forky, the white plastic spork, it is a spork, who was the breakout star of Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
The soiled utensil convinces Destiny is in the trash until he embraces his purpose as a treasured toy of kindergartner Bonnie.
So I guess it's just like, you know, it makes us think about what's our purpose, what's our reason for being. We need to overcome our existential crisis. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
There is a lot of weird, I think this year, I don't know if I would say existential should be like the word of the year, but there were a lot of concerns. A lot of people, I don't know, there's a lot of anxiety growing up right now.
Yeah.
As a kid, do you feel that?
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, although, especially when people talk about like climate change and environmentalism, like they always talk about it like it's an existential threat. Like it's a threat to our very existence if we don't do something about it.
Yeah. Although honestly, if I were to choose a single word, it'd be boomer, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Your grandparents are boomers.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Forky underscores how the sense of grappling can also inspire us to ask big questions about who we are, about our purpose, they told the Associated Press. So this entire thing is just like, I feel like it's like, yeah, climate change, gun violence, all this deep stuff, and then a fork.
Yeah. Yep. It's kind of funny.
It says Oxford Dictionary picks climate emergency as its word of the year, which is actually 2 years. I just realized that. Noting usage evidence that reflects the ethos, mood, or preoccupations of the passing year, the company sent a statement. It also says that dictionary.com has been choosing a word of the year since 2010.
Hmm. Does it mention what any of the other words of the year were?
No, it doesn't.
Hmm. I would be interested to know kind of like what other words they've chosen in the past. Seems like we might have done a story about it before,
but
I don't remember.
No, it doesn't have it. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, I've got a story from the world of science. Russian scientists have found a prehistoric puppy.
Okay.
It is a puppy.
Wait, can I see the picture?
That was frozen in the permafrost.
Oh, huh.
I think we talked about this on a previous podcast. Were you on it? Where we were talking about how they're doing a lot of archaeology along like the edge of glaciers.
No, but I listened to the podcast.
Yeah. So like as the glaciers melt, as the permafrost melts, they're making a lot of discoveries of things that have been frozen for like tens of thousands of years. And they're now just thawing. It's one of the weird side effects of climate change. It's good for science. It's not good for the environment, but, it's really interesting. So they're finding things that they didn't know about or that they can study. And like there might be like a woolly mammoth that's been frozen for tens of thousands of years that suddenly thaws.
Yeah. And then it thaws and it's still alive.
Yeah. In fact, well, yeah, that would be funny if it just sort of woke up and ran around. It also makes you wonder, and I think they've talked about this, like there's a potential they could clone an animal that's extinct.
Yeah. I mean, it's not ethical, but they could.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of ask yourself.
Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Yes. but the interesting thing about this story, so they said that they're doing a lot of this archaeology along the edge of the permafrost, you know, in the spring when it starts to melt, and then the summer when it's melting. One of the reasons they're finding a lot of this stuff is people will go out and they'll hunt for mammoth tusks. So woolly mammoth tusks, which are really valuable in China.
Why only in China?
I think China has this sort of this tradition of ivory. And a lot of times, ivory is very restricted. So you can't just go hunt elephants anymore because elephants are endangered.
Oh,
so it's illegal to hunt elephants for their ivory. But mammoths are already dead, so if you find a mammoth, you can use that tusk to sell it for ivory.
Okay.
I think that's why.
It seemed pretty hard to find mammoths, though.
Yeah, but apparently there's people out there looking for them. And then when they look for them, they also find other things. They tell scientists about it, like this puppy. So the most interesting thing about this puppy is they don't know if it's a dog or a wolf.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's so old that, you know, all dogs evolved from wolves. Like they used to all be wolves.
Actually, it's not that. It's that they both evolved from a common ancestor,
but at one point they would all be considered wolves.
Yeah.
And then you had others that evolved and became domesticated, and there was lots of different breeding, and they turned into like what we think of as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular animal, like, it's a little puppy. In fact, it's kind of cute. It's got fur. It's got a little nose. It's got little claws. It's got little like baby teeth still. That's how they know it's a puppy. They know it's a male dog, but they don't know genetically whether it should be considered a dog or a wolf. They did two different DNA tests to like sequence the genome, and both were inconclusive, and they're going to do a third one. And they think with a third one, they can finally make up their mind if it's a wolf or a dog.
Maybe they should just name it Gandalf because it's a dog and a wolf. So Dolph.
Actually, they named it, trying to see what they named it. They named it Dogor.
Oh.
Which means...
dog. It has dog in it, I think.
I don't remember it. What does it mean? Yeah, it looks like dog. Like it's D-O-G-O-R. But it means something like in the language. Oh, it's Yakutian. So it was found in Yakuti, which is like in Siberia. It's Yakutian for friend. So they named it the word for friend, which also sounds like dog.
Yeah, and it's like man's best friend. Yeah.
Yep. So that's kind of a cool story. It's you know, sad that they're making these discoveries because of climate change, but it's also kind of cool that they're discovering all these animals that have been frozen for so long. Okay, William is joining us now. He's going to do some of our segments with us. But before we get into the next segment, we talked about earlier in the podcast how on Thanksgiving Day we went and saw Knives Out. We gave a little bit of a preview and said that we all really liked it. But I know you wanted to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any thoughts to share with us?
It's like my third favorite movie of the year. It's like an 8.5 out of 10. It's just so much fun. Everyone like has amazing performances. The cinematography and score is solid. The writing is fantastic. The story is subversive and subverted my expectations. Also, everyone's outfits are awesome, and apparently the internet is freaking out over people's sweaters.
Yeah, Chris Evans's sweater has its own Twitter account.
Chris Evans is so awesome. Like, this movie made me like him even more, even though he plays like a complete jerk in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good. All the actors do a really good job. It's kind of interesting. I don't want to give away any spoilers because it's definitely a movie you could spoil by saying too much. But one of the interesting things about it is pretty early in the movie you find out, well, it's a whodunit. And the basic premise is you've got this mystery writer who dies, and the very first scene is they find his dead body. And his whole family are kind of jerks, like rich jerks. And it's like who killed him and why, and everyone has a motive for killing him. And fairly early in the movie you find out like how he died and really kind of who killed him. But that's one of the interesting things about it is like creating more mystery from something that you think you've already figured out.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Man, 2019 has been a great year for movies.
I think it has been a pretty good year for movies,
I feel like every other year is like a really good year for movies. And the years in between, aren't you? It was funny because like this one movie reviewer that I follow, I think it's Chris Stuckman, said that like he gave like no A pluses in 2018, and now he's given 4 A plus movies, like all within the span of a couple of months.
Oh yeah, and there's still a few movies left in the year that I would like to see. So, yeah.
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah,
I don't think that Knives Out is as good as Endgame or Jojo Rabbit, but I still think it's like one of the best movies of the year.
There's some great movies up there. So
yeah.
So let's jump right in. Let's play a game with Alexa.
Shall we play a game?
Oh, love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Sorry, I don't know that.
Alexa, let's play the holiday song quiz.
Welcome back to holiday song quiz. How many people are playing holiday song quiz?
3.
I'll play 5 short holiday song clips. After the music stops, try to guess either the artist or the name of the song. You can also try to guess both for bonus points. If you need more time, just say repeat. Let's begin.
for it.
Player one, question one, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist. Run, run, Rudolph, 'cause I'm reeling
like a merry-go-round. Run, run, Rudolph.
I think that was in last year's one.
You got the title for 10 points.
Chuck Berry.
The song was Run, Rudolph, Run by Chuck Berry. Your score is 10. Player two, question one, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist. Bring us a piggy pudding and bring
it out here. We wish you a... We wish you a Merry Christmas by Reba McEntire.
Wow, you're so smart.
You got the title for 10 points. The song was We Wish You a Merry Christmas by Patti Page.
Oh,
your score is 10. Player 3, question 1, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
All right. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, boy loves you just the same. Here comes Santa Claus right down Santa Claus Lane by Michael Dublé.
Elvis.
Oh my gosh.
You got the title for 10 points.
Also,
the song was Here Comes Santa Claus, Right Down Santa Claus Lane by Elvis Presley.
Your score is 10. That
was a player one moment.
Question two, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? By Some Guy.
Dean Martin, I believe.
Oh. I love Some Guy.
You got the title for 10 points. The song was Do You Hear What I Hear by Perry Como.
Oh, it was Perry.
Your score is 20. Mm-hmm. Player 2, question 2, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist. That only comes
this time of year. Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Kazam.
Oh, Paul McCartney?
You got the title and artist for 10 points Beatle. Plus an extra 10 bonus points.
That one always
points.
Freaked me out when I was little.
Your
I don't
score
know why.
Is 30. Player 3, question 2.
All right.
For 10 points, name the song title and artist.
Let It Snow by Nick Jonas. Just a random artist I thought of. I don't know. It's the first one
you got the title for 10 points. The song was Let It Snow, Let It Snow by Vaughn Monroe. Your score is 20. Player 1, question 3, for 20 points. Call him names.
They never let poor Rudolph. Heard that one right on
the list. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by My Dog.
You got the title for 20 points.
Aww.
The song was Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Ella Fitzgerald. Your score is 40. Player 2, question 3, for 20 points. When the baby's just a why don't you
put some records on while I pour? The neighbors might... Baby, It's Cold Outside by Maisie the Boston Terrier.
Is that the...
You got the title for 20 points.
Version?
The song was Baby, It's Cold Outside by Steve Tyrell and Jane Monheit. Your score is 50. Player 3, question 3,
all right.
For 20 points.
Oh, any of the artists. Deck the Halls by Rostam Batmangli, former member of Vampire Weekend.
It's Mannheim Steamroller.
You got the title for 20 points. The song was Deck the Halls by Mannheim Steamroller. Your score is 40. Player 1, question 4, for 20 points.
Except for Kanye West. Baby, hurry down the chimney
tonight. I Don't Know by My Dog.
Heard that one. I don't know the name.
The song was Santa Baby by Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Your it's kind of annoying that one.
Player 2, question 4, for 20 points. It'll be good, for goodness sake. Oh, you better
watch out. You better not cry. Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Dean Martin.
Dean Martin likes me.
You got the title for 20 points. The song was Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Frank Sinatra.
Ugh.
Your coming score is 70. Town. Player 3, question 4, for 20 points.
Silent Night by Lauren Mayberry of Churches. Is that...
You got the title for 20 points.
Grammy?
The song was Silent Night by The Temptations.
Oh, never mind.
Your score is 60. It's time for the holiday song quiz bonus round.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm pumped.
Player 1, question 5, for 40 points.
Go Tell It on the Mountain by Ezra Koenig, current member of Vampire Weekend. I don't know any of these people.
You got the title
Vampire
for 40
Weekend
points.
Is the king of
the song was Go Tell
names.
It on the Mountain by Little Big Town. Your score is 80. Huh. Player 2, question 5, for 40 points.
The First Noel by Gladys Knight.
You got the title for 40 points. The song was Noel by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Some of the titles.
Your score is 110.
More pointy than others.
Player 3, question 5, for 40 points.
Wake Me Up Inside by Emo Gamers. I don't even know the band for that one.
The song was Winter Wonderland by Darius.
Oh, Beckham. Yeah, that's what it's called. 60.
Player 1 got 80 points.
Blocked that one out, I guess.
Player 2 got 110 points. Player 3 got 60 points.
How many did I get?
Player 2 wins.
You got 80. You got second place.
Yeah. I did great.
Okay, here's your next game. Or you can say stop to exit holiday song quiz.
Stop.
Alexa.
Stop.
Alexa.
Stop.
All right.
Thanks for playing. If you enjoyed the game, you might want to try
Alexa.
Song quiz.
Stop.
Alexa had a serious.
So the thing that makes thing. The thing that makes the holiday song quiz kind of difficult is like so many different people have done those songs that it's hard to guess exactly who's doing it in that one particular thing, unless they have like a
just
super recognizable voice.
Just say Macy's Boston
voice,
Terrier.
Like Elvis Williams.
Elvis.
I always recognize the song names. I don't recognize the artist. I'm sorry. Okay, all of the like smooth Christmas singers sound, they all sound the exact same. And all the ones that sound
exactly
like
Elvis has a super recognizable voice.
Yeah, that's
and all
true.
The ones that sound like your ancient uncle with good advice sound the exact same too.
Now I can see getting like Bing Crosby and Michael Bublé mixed up or something, but
that was neither of them.
I enjoy that game though; that's kind of fun.
Yeah,
I
that was
like it
really
because
fun.
We most of us know those songs. I'm surprised you missed Winter Wonderland because that's a pretty easy one.
I recognized it, but I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, sometimes they'll do like a sound clip that's like has the song title in it, which makes it super easy. And sometimes they'll have like just a random part of the verse, which makes it a lot harder.
I only like knew Go Snow. Tell. I only knew Go Tell It on the Mountain because we're playing it in orchestra.
Also, they started to say Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Well, yeah, that too.
I really like that's now actually the time to celebrate Christmas. Just before this podcast, I was just messing around and playing random Christmas songs on piano.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is
three words for you: treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
And
treat
for treat yourself.
I'm excited for this one.
For treat yourself this week, we have holiday flavored sodas, Coca-Cola products to be precise.
We have just one
winter
query.
Spiced cranberry Sprite.
Want a Sprite cranberry?
Want a Sprite cranberry? Okay, so I pretty much love like every single flavor of Coke and their, I guess, like associated sodas.
And we have limited edition cinnamon Coca-Cola. I've got these little mini cans, which makes it really convenient because I think I'll just pass everyone their own can.
Yeah.
That way we won't have to share or pour it out into a nice little cup.
That way it's easier to drink all of it in 2 seconds, I think.
It's easier.
Approximately 2 seconds.
These cans are 7.5 ounces each.
All right. How many seconds do you think?
So even if you drink both of them, it'd be just a little bit more than a regular drink.
So you can't feel that bad for drinking them.
Yeah. I mean, they are still just full of sugar.
Well, these are like smaller than like the normal cans, right?
So feels Sprite good to hold something this size. I don't know.
And Cinnamon Coke. Which one should we try first? I think we should try the Sprite Cranberry first, because it's probably going to have a little bit less of a flavor, maybe.
Wait, play the soda drop.
I'm so excited for both of these.
Oh, yeah. This is a soda. To find the soda sound effect. Can I find it? I haven't used it in a long time.
It truly is the thirstiest time of the year.
This truly is an ASMR podcast now. That's a very satisfying sound, though, I gotta say.
And then we need the mic.
Let's try the Sprite.
Wait, I need the Sprite cranberry. I need the Sprite cranberry.
Oh, I didn't give you one?
No, you didn't.
Oh,
someone
sorry.
Got into one of them.
Yeah, that was you, Will.
I think someone...
I did not get into
that. One and then had a little bit of conscience and texted.
No, I was
his
going to open it.
And asked, can I have it?
I was going to open it, but I heard that it was for treat yourself. And so
no,
I put it back.
No one drank it. It's still in the fridge.
I actually put it back.
It just wasn't attached to the six pack.
Ah, okay.
All right. I don't think we need to mute the mics for this because all you will hear is us swallowing, I guess, but not chewing because we're not chewing this.
All right. I mean, I could try. Ah.
All right. Have you guys had Sprite Cranberry before? Mm. I think they came out with this last year, and they brought it back this year.
It's different this year. It's like winter spiced.
Winter spiced cranberry.
It tastes sort of like...
It's a little more spicy. It is.
It tastes like ginger ale.
It does. So. It tastes like it has some ginger in it for sure.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
I don't like it as much, but
delicious. I really like Sprite Cranberry. I think I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's a slight improvement on normal Sprite Cranberry.
Mm, not sure I don't like ginger ale, so.
It does taste really ginger ale-y.
I really like
it. Because of that, I like it. I'm going to call it a delicious.
I really like the original Sprite Cranberry.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Not sure if it's quite enough of an improvement to justify like its existence, other than it having a really cool design, but it is.
And
it's still a slight improvement, so delicious, definitely.
In my opinion, like, the other one was better because it was more simple. Like, the flavor is more slight.
It tastes a little bit like ginger ale. It's still got the lemon limey Sprite flavor, and it has just a hint of cranberry.
Last year...
What are you going to rate it, Henry?
Delicious.
Oh, we all called it delicious?
Yep.
All right.
It's funny. Last year, my church's quorum, we were all, like, 14 and 15 at the time, but, like, all of us were, like, at church, we were, like, all super obsessed with Sprite Cranberry, and, like... Whenever we had an event, whenever we invited each other over to play like board games or whatever, we would always like have Sprite Cranberry like around November and December because we all got obsessed with it.
I got some Coke on my pee filter.
That's some pretty extreme ASMR.
My pop filter.
Now you can just lick the mic.
All right, so let's try the Cinnamon Coke. I'm excited about this one. I have not had this yet.
I am too.
Waiting to try it. What do you think, guys?
Okay, I'm just going to say something. I don't really like the Coke flavor because, like, at first it just tastes like Coke and then the cinnamon kicks in. And the cinnamon's good, but the Coke's less good. But I just like it overall. Delicious.
If there was something better than delicious, I would rate it this. This is really good.
I kind of expect it to
be... It's really cinnamony, but not in a fake way. Like, it's a really good flavor.
I kind of expect it to be like Pepsi Fire, which is also really good. Even people don't
but this
like
is better.
Like
this is better.
Pepsi Fire is more like slightly fake and kind of spicy.
This is really tasty. This makes me want to go buy some more. Yeah. I wish they had Cinnamon Coke Zero, but I don't think they do.
This is like natural cinnamon. It's like a cinnamon flavored extra gum. It's really good.
It's really good. That's delicious. Of the two, I like the Cinnamon Coke better, but the Sprite Cranberry is good too. The winter spiced cranberry Sprite.
Coke already is a little bit like spicy kind of in a way. And that's kind of leans
I agree.
All in
I think,
the, like,
I think
natural
just a
spiciness.
Regular Coke has just a little bit of cinnamon in it.
This is like if they took that
a
and
little
like
bit of spiciness to it.
This is like if they took that and magnified it a bit and made it like natural spiciness.
Yeah, you know how like Dr. Pepper has a cherry flavor to it, but then if you have cherry Dr. Pepper, it's like even more cherry.
Yeah.
That's like if you took all of the spiciness of Coke and you just amped them up. I agree.
Yeah, but, like, it tastes like you're actually, like, sucking on a cinnamon stick. It's really good.
I think it's probably better than sucking on a cinnamon stick, which doesn't sound that good to me. Oh, I like it.
It's pretty darn good.
You can still taste the Coke flavor too, which is impressive. Like they balance that out well.
Yeah, like the cinnamon takes a bit.
I would say this is just as good as the... I've tried a sip of the Apple Coke, which is also really good.
Yeah, I was going to try that along with this, but then I accidentally opened it. So I found Apple Coke at the Japanese grocery store, Mitsuha. And I think it's only available in Japan, but they had it at Mitsuha. They have Apple Coke. It tastes just really apple-y.
It's really good, though.
It doesn't taste very, very Coke. It's more like just an apple soda.
I don't know if it's better or worse than this, but maybe...
I like the cinnamon Coke better.
Maybe they could combine these to make like a apple spice Coke. Yeah,
like a spiced apple cider Coke.
Or a cinnamon... an apple spice.
Basically, we're complete Coke sellouts.
Yeah.
I like both of these. I especially like the cinnamon Coke, though. It's really, really tasty.
Yeah, this is a really good treat yourself.
Yeah. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, William, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Henry, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you especially to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at TalkToDadPodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes from 1 to 178. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about the podcast. If you know someone who's interested in listening to podcasts, but especially like a family-friendly podcast, then this might be a good one to recommend. And the other thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. If you do that, that just helps other people be able to find the podcast as well, because of the way they do the rankings and the libraries with the podcast app. So we really appreciate that. Like to thank also the Foxy Morons, which is the band that allowed us to use their music for our intro and outro music. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for